are back for another episode.
Yeah, we...
You alright?
Yeah, today just seems to be like the day of, you know, computer mishaps, I swear. We've already had it trying to stop the show once. But well, today just seems to be like the technology gods or the FBI or someone knows where I am at all times.
Probably. The men in black, they like to show up at your door when you're not. Oh, I know, it's Monday. Well, mine went really quick.
I am still questioning the strange Morse code screeching coming out of my Bluetooth earbuds today.
Yeah, they're Bluetooth.
They're Bluetooth,
You don't plug them in at all. They're not plugged into your
phone. There's a battery in them, so you gotta charge them.
Right, because Ken's got a pair. My plug's directly into my phone. I'm like, okay, I can see sometimes getting that where the wire starts to go bad.
Yeah.
But I'm like, wait, you don't have how?
No.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
I had plugged them in at lunchtime, and I just left them there. I didn't, turn anything on after lunch. I just left it. So at about 2:30, they're fully charged. So I take them off, I start listening. I made it about 30 minutes into a show, and all of a sudden, there's this screeching, and it's like, where I work, right, there's an office immediately behind me that has a 3D printer constantly running. So I thought, well, maybe that's coming from the printer. Right. It's been acting up. Maybe that's what I'm hearing. So I pause, and I still hear it, and it's coming straight into my ear, and it's like, what is this? And it keeps going and going. And finally, I take my earbuds over to one of my coworkers. Like, listen to this. And she doesn't hear anything because it stopped.
You might have just got some weirder.
Well, that's there. But as I started listening to it, it started giving me a series of four, beeps and boops. And I started, I only got like an F in it. I didn't, by the time I had noticed there was a pattern, I had quit this, but it was like Morse code.
Next time it happened.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, by the time I got the second letter, we went to listen again, and it had completely stopped. And when I tried to press play again, the earbuds, that's what really freaked me out, because I'd had, again, this is only been playing for half an hour, and they were suddenly dead.
And they were charged.
And like you said, they were fully charged. So I should have had at least 2 hours worth of time. So whatever they did, whatever that interference was, drained the batteries dry.
And nothing else around went crazy.
No.
Because it almost sounds like something like an EMP.
Yeah.
That would affect everything. And if it was a short, you would think that just one of them would drain it.
Yeah. But it was completely... Well, it's like they're not separate. They are tied together with a string. But still, Yeah, it's just the battery in the center just completely died. So I got to remember to charge them.
So other than some crazy Morse code, did you do anything else this weekend?
Mostly dealt with getting stuff together for work this week, and got to rewatch Into the Spider-Verse again. So good. And apparently it's already available. A friend of mine got her friend's Vudu account, and they had already purchased it. It does not look as good on the regular TV screen, however, as it does on the big... That animation style is not made for a regular size TV screen.
Yeah, that's how a lot of them are. They're in theaters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the way, this was almost 3D, and it's really hard to watch a 3D movie on a regular size screen or a phone, let alone one that's not 3D, but still looks...
No, we really did on Saturday. That way we all got... I still got to get rid of the mud. I got them off the center console, and then I realized they're all over the doors cast. Yeah, as we were leaving, there was a couple walking I don't know what it was a little white puffball dog, even smaller than Cass.
Yeah.
And it was filthy. At least with Cassie, we put her hoodie on her, so she really wasn't that bad. Her legs.
Yeah.
Ken made her take a meter bath. But what do you say? Dive on in.
Sure.
This interesting show information and all this rabbit holes we kind of jumped into. All right. This one I thought was kind of interesting. This happened in Indiana. It says, truck carrying 16 missiles for U.S. military involved in crash. Yeah, I'm curious about this. You would think if a vehicle was carrying missiles for the government, it would be a military vehicle, but I don't think this was a military vehicle. I could be wrong, but I don't think
it looked like.
A semi-truck loaded with missiles for the U.S. military crashed at a rest stop along Idaho.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. Anyways, this was Idaho. I thought it would have been even funny. Well, probably because it's I-90, because I know I-90. All right. Stopped along I-90 in northern Idaho Friday night. No one was hurt. The Idaho State Police said 56-year-old man at the wheel was driving through the rest stop when he accidentally drove into a hazardous containment where he met used interstate. So is that the waste collection that he ran up? Only thing I can think. He ended up driving over a snowbank at the end of the hazmat area, which disabled the semi-truck was transporting 16 missiles, each weighing 2,000. Crash. I-90 shut down for 4 miles. Okay. Hazardous West Area missiles. How could this not go wrong?
Yeah, and again, I'm looking at the picture that this article came with, and I feel like they would have transported them a bit more safer than they currently are.
Oh, I know. Can you imagine if you hit a couple extra bumps and you're driving down the road and thump, yeah. thump as the missiles roll out of the back?
Or you hit a sheet of ice. I mean, a truck this big is going to be a little bit more prepared for a sheet of ice, but still.
Well, he wasn't prepared for a hazardous as we know.
No.
Prepared. And this one involves...
Oh.
You got this one?
And I mean, I've seen some pretty bad, kidnappings. I've done some in my day.
You've done kidnapping in your day?
Yes.
What?
Similar to this, because I didn't go as far.
You didn't make it to space, kidnapping stuff.
I didn't make it to space.
Oh, good Lord, Bart. I didn't expect that one. Okay. Well, you take the kidnapping.
I'll tell you another time about how I learned to make a ransom note as a child.
If we have time, okay, how's this? If we have time at the end of the show, you can tell us about your making a ransom note as a child.
I think the thing might still be for ransom, so I possibly can't do it on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. So, SpaceX apparently has a new crew member. It is a $20 plush toy Planet Earth, which the astronauts refer to as Little Earth. Or Earthy for short. It's, when was this? Oh, okay. Last Saturday, so about a week ago, SpaceX launched their Crew Dragon spaceship that'll go to the International Space Station and be docked. So, where the vehicle is docked now. No humans flew on the historic commercial mission. Only a crash test dummy. 400 pounds of cargo. And this little... fuzzy toy Earth.
Well, don't forget the dummy was called.
Yes.
It's going to fight.
I don't know. Who knows? It might.
With a name like that. Okay.
The NASA administrator, Jim Bridenstine, hailed the mission as the dawn of a new era in American human spaceflight. In the coming months, SpaceX and NASA will look at the data gathered and prepare the ship for its first human passage. In the meantime, three crew members living aboard the space station, Anne McLean, David St. Jacques, and Roscosmos cosmonaut Oleg Kononenko, I know I said that wrong, adopted Earthy as an unofficial rookie in training.
Dude, I want to see videos of it. They should do that. They should send it and make it do crazy spins and flying through the space station and send it.
So there's an image with this where you can't see it, but then... It says, seemingly on a whim, Elon Musk also tethered a toy Earth made by the company Celestial Buddies to another seat aboard the Crew Dragon spaceship. So, yeah, hanging around the International Space Station is now their own little personal planet Earth. And it is adorable. And I'm really kind of curious if they had to position that to get that picture, or it was just floating.
Of Earthy? I don't know. It's adorable. We'll give it that much.
It is.
But no, looking at the... the ship, it's actually really cool looking.
Yeah, I'm loving all these new ships that keep popping up, and all of this just because one person had a lot of money and said, hey, I'm going to do something good with it.
Well, and we'll get into further more stories on space and all this, but I mean, when space travel first started in like 60s and so forth, 60s, 70s, it was the Spirit of America, basically. And then it became, of the world, because everybody was watching us. And then it just seems that it just kind of fizzled out. And we know when it comes to public, we really weren't making any progress or doing anything, which anyone knows better knows military. It just went underground.
Yeah.
But having this happen now, I think it's, catching the spirit again of what we can do. I don't know. Oh, Earthy's got a juice box. Okay, its mouth is creepy. He's in his hazmat suit, which is just a helmet because he's so little. It's funny how they put goggles and a mask on him. Oh, he's working out.
Well, I mean, those toilets are stinky. Percy's already seen what happens to himself when there's too much crap in the air.
Uh-huh. And now he's working out and everything. Is this earbuds?
I love the picture with the beef.
Wait, which one? Hold on.
It says on the treadmill.
Oh, yeah. I just passed that one. He must exercise. Got to keep his figure.
No, you cannot take it for a spin. And at the end of the long work day, the astronauts even set up a dinner date for Earth. Favorite of the crew, group dinner, McLean tweeted. The candlelight dinner was also attended by Peck, was from the European Space Agency. So yeah, Earthy's having a lot of fun.
Must be. Crazy, crazy. Gets to do more than what most people.
Yeah.
And speaking of crazy, 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 this unsolved mystery happened 25 years ago. Hundreds of people reported seeing UFOs along Lake Michigan, which actually is it doesn't surprise me because they're always seeing crazy lights even up in Lake Erie. But we need to get up there one evening and just hang out and see what we can see. This happened on March 8th, which is pretty recent, 1994. Calls flooded 911 to report strange sightings in the night sky. The reports came in from all walks of life, from police and a meteorologist to residents of Michigan's many beach resort. Hundreds of people witnessed what many insist were UFOs, unidentified flying objects, or what UAPs now is what they're calling them.
Yeah.
This one said four lights in the sky that looked like moons over the line of the trees behind her horse pasture. I got UFOs in the backyard, she told her friend on the phone. Today, the mystery remains unsolved, but it continues to fascinate researchers and history buffs alike. They still believe the lights were UFOs. This person says they watched them for half an hour. Where I'm facing them, the one on the far left moved off. It moved to the highway and then came back into the same position. The one to the right was gone in a blink of an eye. Then eventually everything disappeared quickly. She still lives in the same house and continues to talk about that night. I'm known as the UFO Lady of Grand Haven. But yeah, a lot of them right now, they're just saying they saw lights. This one's, I saw six lights out the window above the barn across the street. I got up and went to the sofa and looked up at the sky. They were red and white and moving. Others gave similar account. What's more, the meteorologist recorded unknown echoes on his radar the same time they reported the light. My guy looked at the radar and observed three echoes as the officer was describing the movement. The movement of the objects were rather erratic. The echoes were there about 15 minutes, drifting slowly southwest, kind of headed toward the Chicago side of the south end of Lake Michigan. That's kind of interesting they actually were able to get on radar. You know, you usually don't get that.
No, you usually don't.
Well, and if you do, they don't say they don't. No. Let's see, there were three and sometimes four blips. They weren't planes. Planes show as pinpoints on the scope. These were the size of a half thumbnail. They were 5 to 12,000 feet at times, moving all over the place. They were moving towards Chicago. I never saw anything like it before. Not even when I'm doing severe weather. And of course, you know, they contact and move on and all the...
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious. Because, like, this kind of almost reminds me of the stuff... this was it a few years after this, the Arizona light? The Phoenix light?
I think so, yes.
Where it was basically just a bunch of lights and they were all, like, connected. But I know it was huge. I mean, there was probably, like, two football fields long?
It was about that, maybe a little bit less. I don't recall. Like I said, I don't recall this one exactly. I, like, you know, a hazy recollection of it, and that's all.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking also there was another one, a video I saw, and it was, I think, six. And you could tell that it was on a boat, and they were, like, driving. But the person who had the camera was facing backward, so catching as it was coming. And it looked like, I don't know if it was the ocean or if this was on one of the lakes, but it looked like six really fast moving fireballs all in a line and just going. If I can find the video, I'll post it. But if anyone knows of the story I'm talking of, hey, send it to us. But it looked like a line of fireballs, you know, red, white, the typical, like, fire.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is it a new type of drone? Speaking of that, that's kind of like what this one is, too. You got the U.S. Air Force?
Yeah. Excuse me. So I guess the Air Force now has a jet-powered robotic wingman. That's pretty much, you know, an even more powerful drone.
The Valkyrie.
Yeah. The XQ-58A Valkyrie could someday accompany a human-piloted human-piloted fighter jets on missions. It's a bit like things that you see in a video games, you know, or like a swarm of drones can fight alongside human pilots or absorb the enemy fire instead of the jets getting hit. This was developed as a partnership between the Air Force Research Lab and Kratos Unmanned Aerial System as a relatively cheap platform that can fill an electronic warfare, strike, and surveillance role on the battlefield, controlled by a piloted aircraft on its own or as part of a swarm. It can carry a small payload of bombs and can use a conventional runway and be launched via a rocket. The prototype completed its first test on March 5th over the Yuma Proving Grounds in Arizona, and the Air Force said that it behaved as expected over the course of a 76-minute flight. They said the tests they'll look at how well the drone systems worked and how well it took off, flew, and landed. What they found with these tests was the demonstration showed it to be what they called a loyal wing. The drone flew on its own. It did not have to be alongside another fighter aircraft, so it can continue on its path.
So I guess, does that mean Goose is no longer... Oh no, not Goose. Ice is no longer a really good wingman.
Exactly, yeah. Well,
oops, sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. The Pentagon has been increasingly looking to add automation into the battlefield over the last couple of years, and this is their perfect opportunity to keep soldiers and other personnel out of harm's way.
Until they make them robots.
Exactly. Until we don't need humans fighting for us, we'll send the robots out and then the robots can start fighting against us.
Yep. Welcome to Ascended AI. You guys.
But it looks like, you know, while we're starting to get more drones, we're losing some of the military bases we've had hidden for a while.
But no, I'm thinking that, you know how we've, like, people are always seeing weird planes flying, and there's no way a human could be flying it. And you and I know you and I both had said, well, why isn't it, it could be a drone. I think that's what this is.
Well, now it is a drone.
Mm-hmm. But what the people were seeing, they thought it was UFO. No, I think it was, that's what it was. But talking about losing bases, is the United States about to lose control over Secretive Diego Garcia military base? Ow, of course Cassie has to jump in and headbutt. Should've jumped. Okay, sorry. The Secretive Diego Garcia military base may be 1,000 miles from the nearest continent, but it has all the trappings of a modern American town. Play 9 golf course, golf, bowling, beer, get American hamburger, and all that. But while cars here drive on the right side of the road, this is not an American soil. It is, in fact, a remote remnant of the British Empire. That is because in 1965, in the middle of the Cold War, the United States signed a controversial secret agreement, the British government, to lease one of the 60 or so Indian Ocean atolls that make up the Charcos Island to construct a military base. The deal was secret because the UK was in a process of decolonizing
Mauritius,
of which the
Chagos
was a dependency. The islands never got its independence day. Instead, it was cleaved from the Mauritius and renamed the British Indian Ocean Territory, a move that the United Nations highest court in 2019 ruled was illegal under international law. Dang. From the 60s? It took them, what, over 50 years? Figured it was illegal? Britain now has been instructed to properly finish the process of decolonizing and return the island located halfway between Africa and Indonesia to the Mauritius. The ruling now... Ruling through non-binding potential creates a huge problem for the United States. Today, Diego Garcia is one of America's most important and secretive overseas assets. Well, it ain't secretive no more.
No. Because I'm thinking, they keep talking about how secret it is, and it's like, you knew about it, didn't you?
Well, I'm looking at this as Area 51. Don't look here, don't look here, don't look here, don't look here. And everyone's going to be like, let me look. And then, you know, you're doing something else over there, so no one cares. Dude, we got so many bases all over the world. This ain't nothing new. It's just that, you know, got caught with their pants down, and now they have to put them back on after, you know, 50-some years. Oh, yeah. Why not? U.S. military bases abroad, 2015. Just see the, well, of course, Middle East is packed with military bases. One on Iceland, we have Greenland, all over the U.S., obviously. Plus naval base. Yeah, we got several, because some of these we've talked about before that dealt with other things.
Yeah.
So really, it's not that big a deal if they end up having to close their door. Meridius was given $3 million for agreeing to the deal, and it was settled that the American wave... $14 million related to an order of Polaris submarine missile heading for... I think they'll just move it somewhere else.
Yeah. Most of this stuff will probably just go to another base that they've been... That they either that's been underutilized or they've been using for something else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's getting replaced.
Okay, I'm scrolled down real quick. And do you see this where it says a mushroom cloud forms after the initial atomic bomb test exploded off the coast of Bikini Atoll? Marshall Island in 47. Yeah. This is the Bikini. I know this is also Bikini Islands, correct? This is what
I
they call the
bell. So.
Because I'm looking at this picture and I'm zooming in. You could see the ocean and palm trees, yeah, and the bloom. Now, if you scroll to the left, far left, is that a ship sitting out there or is that just dust?
I have to pull it up on my phone. It won't let me zoom in on the screen.
I'm looking at this.
Well, it kind of looks like a ship. But it's really close to the land. And I can't even tell if that's land. I would assume that's land, but I couldn't tell if that's land or just debris.
Because you got the mushroom cloud, then you got the debris, and it looks like a ship to the left. Well, the reason I say this is because my grandfather was at the Bikini Islands when they were doing. So he would have been 20. My great-grandma said that he left a young man and came back.
That makes sense.
Well, he came back, I guess, like they pulled all of his teeth, he went white hair and he had real dark hair. I barely remember my grandpa because when he passed, he was one of the last ones to have survived this. And when he passed away at like 6 or something, because he was pretty young, they said that his insides were like an 80-year-old some man. He wasn't very old, but yeah. Of course, this gets down into more of how that base did, you know, how that was utilized in different wars. 2-mile-long runway capable of host B-1, B-2, and B-52 bomber.
I guess apparently no journalist has ever been to the base, though one Time magazine correspondent filed a dispatch from the tarmac after he touched down for the refuel. That was the closest he ever got to it.
Maybe this is where they put the alien. Makes sense.
It's got higher security than even Guantanamo Bay.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
Talking about secret, we got more secrets, huh, Bart? More secrets. You got this one?
Yeah. There. How China could try and kill an F-22 Raptor.
Same. So.
A quantum radar generating a large number of entangled photon pairs and shooting one twin in the air would be capable of receiving a critical information about a target, including its shape, location, speed, temperature, and even the chemical composition of its paint from the returning photon.
That's insane.
They said this first appeared back in 2017. So it was basically theoretical, but if it existed, it'd be able to track and detect and track stealth aircraft perfectly. But it was kind of unclear if China truly mastered that technology in the first place. The Chinese defense industry has claimed they've made a breakthrough in mastering this technology, though. But Western defense industry officials are saying that such a system is not likely to exist outside of a lab. It's last year, China Electronics Technology Group announced it had tested such a radar at ranges of roughly 60 miles. And that's not really that big, but the fact that such radar would be able to provide weapons quality track on a stealth aircraft at those distances in itself isn't, because it's better, it's more impressive than anything they've done yet.
Yeah, this will make me interested to see drone on drone. Have our drone AI in their drone.
Ooh.
See who could take who out. That would be interesting dogfight.
Chinese sources claim that the range for an operational version of the quantum radar is likely to be much greater. They're saying the figure in their declassified document is a tuned down version of the real thing. And the paper describes that the quantum radar would use a novel concept in physics, which scientists are just now starting to understand, to be able to produce it. A quantum radar generating a large number of entangled photon pairs and shooting one twin into the air would be capable of receiving critical information, like we were saying before. Some people are saying, you know, they're just completely skeptical of all of this. A Nanjing University physicist is saying that in quantum radar, photons have to certain quantum state, such as upward or downward spin, to stay entangled. But the quantum states could be disrupted, creating decoherence, which would be quite a limiting factor in allowing the quantum radar to continue. So it looks like they've made a breakthrough in single photon detectors, but that's still just the start. They're nowhere near quantum radar yet, but they're getting.
It's amazing the leaps and bounds science has just been taking off, which makes me wonder where space flight truly is. Maybe we actually do live on Mars and don't. All right. There was one that it didn't want to let me open it, so I skipped.
Yeah, it's not letting me into it either.
Basically, it said NASA's basically getting a budget, a huge budget. I mean, it wasn't just NASA, but it was like the Board of Defense and a whole bunch of other stuff. But NASA is getting a big boost, and we know in past several years, more than a several years, but you know, for a while now, publicly NASA's budget has been axed and then axed again. But we all know that all they did is just went underground. A lot of military stuff. But this one here, I say, speaking of NASA, NASA finds huge planet that's so big, experts aren't sure if it qualifies as a planet. Which we know that with the opposite. If it's too small, is it still a planet?
Yeah.
I mean, we know poor Pluto has been bounced back and forth. This here, the discovery of the supermassive alien world dubbed OGLE-2016BL1190LB was announced after scientists NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope to spot it. The planet is so big that astronauts aren't sure how it even exists. The alien world is estimated times the mass of Jupiter. That is huge, because Jupiter is pretty big.
Yeah, Jupiter's small, and it's still.
Yeah, Jupiter's impressive. Tiny compared to this. It's so big that experts are wondering whether or not it is possible that it is, in fact, a sort of failed star, despite the fact that it orbits the sun. It's possible if it was a binary star. Now, and for some reason which many don't understand, Nibiru ended up in this story. The discovery of the massive world has fueled speculation among doomsayers that the planet in question could be Nibiru or Planet X, a mysterious alien world that will allegedly cause the end of time. Believers behind the Nibiru doomsday theory suggest how a rogue alien world is hurling through outer space and will appear in our skies at any... But let's get back to base, which they say that that's in our orbit, but it's just behind the sun. You know, to orbit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near as dramatic as that, and the newly found giant planet isn't hurting anything. In fact, despite its size, it orbits its star. Oh, it's a big boy. It's a farm boy. It's just a big boy. No big deal, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. The planet is most likely a huge planet that has a mass of about 13.4 Jupiter mass. Such high mass puts the object right at the deuterium burning limit, the controversial boundary between planets and brown. Hence, astronomers have not excluded the possibility that the newly found alien world could be in a low mass dwarf planet. The planet orbits its host star approximately every 3 Earth years at an average distance of 2.0 AUs. That was weird. Star system home of the planet that should not exist is located some 22,000 light years away from Earth, which actually is not that far.
No, it's still pretty close. In the big scheme.
New studies say that the planet is the first exoplanet discovered thanks to the microlensing and the Spitzer spacecraft. Since the existence of the brown dwarf desert is the signature of different formations, mechanisms for stars and planets. The extremely close proximity of this planet to this desert raises the question of whether it is truly a planet. Why not, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a planet. Okay.
But then again, I guess you could also consider that too, you know. Well, is it a planet or not? You know, well, is the moon a planet or not?
No, it's the moon's that a snake brought. It spit it out and left. That's why it is a bap casting the budge. My links aren't working. I don't know.
The Pentagon one?
Yeah, now it's working.
Okay.
It was reading some about Chinese. All right, you got the Pentagon?
Yeah, so an official on this past Saturday said that the Pentagon is reviewing federal security clearance held by Elon Musk, founder and chief executive officer of SpaceX. Also, this is the first time I've ever seen a picture of Elon Musk. And dear God, I did that, you know, it's not hipster. I don't know what you would call it, but that's the man who's taking us back into space. Oh, dear.
South African, Canadian, American.
Okay. So Elon Musk resubmitted his SF-86 security form after he smoked marijuana on a podcast last year.
I saw this and everyone is up in arms and losing their damn mind. Okay, sorry, trolley snowflakes. You need to get castrated and get on with your damn life. He was on a podcast and it's legal in California. It's legal in most states. It was a mix. It was not a cigarette. What's the other one? It's I always say stogie. You know what I mean? It's one of those. And it was just mixed in. Was mixed in with it. Because I actually watched the video. He took a few hits. Wow. And everyone lost their mind. I think Tesla was the ones that lost their minds and made him get off the head of the board. I mean, he's still the CEO, but he's no longer head of the board. I'm like, what the hell? It was legal. He had a couple hits off of the cigar. That's what it was. It was a cigar, a little bit of weed mixed in. But the funny part is, was there actually weed in it? We know how videos and how pictures and how things, you could say anything. And we know Facebook will believe anything.
Unfortunately.
Anti-vaxxers? Flat earthers? Shall we continue?
I still need to watch. Apparently there's a documentary on Netflix in which the flat earthers tried to prove their theory was correct, but in turn just prove themselves completely wrong.
I that just came up on my feed today. I was thinking the same thing. They spent $20,000 to try on this documentary to try to prove that the earth was flat, and they proved themselves wrong. I'm laughing my ass off. Because you know Newton and all those back, you know, rolling their damn graves saying, guys, you're idiots. They didn't
but
even
you
think
know
it
what?
Was...
They put the money. They said, this is what we're aiming to prove. We're going to use science to do it. And they used science. They did not. They still said, oh, well, something must be wrong. They still went through every step to prove their point, which is what a true documentarian should do. They went through and found ways to prove or disprove their theory instead of just saying it was wrong.
Dude, I'm making a cube Earth. I think that's going to be one of my next projects. I'm going to make a cube Earth. How's that sound?
Just don't assimilate too bad.
I'll just make it gratuitous. Hey, I've been busy this.
I've seen some of what you've been putting together. That looks good.
I haven't touched watercolor. I will tell my age at about this weekend was my first weekend I've touched water. So my Nessie turned out okay. I tried to do a Bigfoot, but he actually looks kind of like a cousin it with. Hey, you try to paint with wet on wet, and the paint just kind of does what it wants to. It's not so good for detail. So I think I'm going to have to go back and add. But speaking of Elon Musk is smoking his weed.
Yeah, so he resubmitted a form because according to this article, marijuana is an illegal drug under federal law. The official who confirmed the matter on condition of anonymity, because the government does not publicly discuss individual security clearance, said that no decision had been made about his clearance.
Well, we know it's all propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
You got the money. You're pretty much curious if he's going to get his clearance or not, because he's been making a bunch of... Well, also, you remember going back to all that, you remember when he did the heavy flight lash?
Yeah.
And supposedly nobody wanted in on it. So he's like, screw it, I'm just going to throw a Tesla instead. Because nobody wanted in on his rocket.
Yeah.
What's the chances now they're like, I'm an idiot. You know, maybe we should have gone in with him. So are they going to, because, you know, most people don't get out of high school. So what are the chances of them not giving him his clearance because they were the ones that screwed up? Which reminds me of my work. Just simply saying no details reminds me of my work, you know. But yeah, I don't know. It would be one of those to find out what's going to come out of it. Of course, SpaceX declined to comment.
Yeah, of course.
They're not going to want to comment because they don't want to get themselves into any more trouble than they already are. I don't know. I'm kind of a toss-up if he's going to get it or not. This last one. Okay, everybody bidded the Curiosity's goodbye, right?
Yeah.
The rovers, because they died. Because these were the ones that, trying to think, the ones that had been up there for a long time, right?
They were,
because there's a Curiosity 1 and 2, and then there's the other two that they sent up, the other two rovers after.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, NASA's Mars Curiosity rover back up and running after mysterious... Oh, damn intern, he got to it too slow. He had to stop at Starbucks, right? Yeah, that's what it was. He had to go to Starbucks and then he had to go to the laundromat and get his boss's clothes.
Of course.
But here it says NASA. NASA says that its Curiosity rover is back up and running on Mars after a 2-week hiatus from scientists' operations, thanks to a mysterious technological issue, which. Because these were the ones that were up there for like 14 years or something, wasn't it? They were only supposed to be there for like working for like a year or two, and then it's gone like 14.
And I mean, if it was working, it was still producing, you know, still retrieving data and sending it back.
Right. So just let it go. I think that's pretty much what they did.
And I think that's part of why this rover that just died, it was so sad because it had been up there for so long.
So then it woke up. Yeah. Because this is Curiosity launched back on 2011 and landed on the surface less than a year later. These are the ones that I was thinking about because I knew they sent other stuff up there. The U.S. Space Agency reports its engineering on the mission continues to study what caused the computer reset back on February. The rover deputy project manager says that the rover experienced a one-time computer reset but has operated normally ever since. Curiosity encountered a hurdle last Friday when a hiccup during boot up interrupted its planned activities and triggered a protective safe mode. The rover was brought out of this mode on Tuesday, February 9th, and is otherwise operating normally, having successfully booted up over 30 times without further issue. Maybe just like everyone's computer, just had a bloody hiccup.
Exactly.
As it currently stands, Curiosity is one of two active NASA spacecraft actively studying the red planet's surface. The other active spacecraft is InSight Lander, which landed back in November 28. The Curiosity rover has been climbing and studying Mount Sharp dating back to 2014, and the space agency says it has reached a clay region that could offer new clues about the ancient Martian environment's potential support for life. With the rover back up and running, NASA says it will continue studying clay minerals in the region, which especially interests to the rover's science. And then, yeah, right here, when it had landed, the rover's main mission included finding out whether or not the planet had an environmental conditions to support small life form known as micro. That's kind of cool that it's back and running, because I know the other one they had, it died years ago, or a couple years ago now.
Yeah, because the first one they sent up was in 98 or 99, or somewhere around.
2 years before this.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember I was in seventh grade. So it might have been 97.
Yeah, because I'm just a few years older than
you. Yeah. But yeah, it would have been somewhere mid to late 90s.
It's kind of cool, though, that this one's still up and running. Maybe it would happen more often, some of the other ones. Because I know we did one on a satellite that it did the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It rebooted it, and they were like, but yeah, I think another crazy good show. What do you think?
Yeah. Sometimes, and you had complete control over this week, but sometimes I swear there's just like a plethora of things out there that no one would have thought to find.
This was me a Sunday morning without coffee.
And I have been unable to listen to a lot of one of the shows we listened to hasn't been on. And the other one, I haven't been able to listen to any of my NPR stuff. So I'm sure here in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be hearing all these stories that we missed.
Totally. All right. Ready to call it another awesome show when...
Yeah.
Take us on out.
We will definitely have all the links up on Facebook. You can find us there. If you have any stories you'd like to let us know about or things that we should go investigate, you can drop us a line on Facebook. or email us at tftdpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter. And also, you can find us on TeePublic, where you can get a really cool shirt with our logo on.
Yep. So, everybody, if you have any stories, let us know. We're curious about what you guys think of some of the UFOs. Have you seen any? Seen big? I know we were talking off air. I know we heard some crazy on our hike. We plan on going on. So with that saying, everybody stay safe. We'll see you next. Keep your eyes to the sky, ear to the ground, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.